Welcome again, everyone. So this is the September 14th meeting of the CIC. We have a relatively short agenda today, four items, but they're all pretty short. The first thing I was going to give a brief presentation on our transit coordinated plan that we're wrapping up. So I'm trying to share my screen here. Give me just a second. Okay, I assume you guys can all see the screen.
Yep.
So I'm gonna condense down a, I don't know, what was it, Jeff, a 6 or 7 month planning process into about 5 minutes here, but just wanted to give you an idea of one of the projects we've been working on at AMETS. Jeff and I have been involved in this one. And it's called the Coordinated Public Transit Human Services Transportation Plan. And really it's a pretty simple concept. It's basically, well, it's something that we have to do every 5 years, 4 or 5 years. Every 4 or 5 years, we have to do this. And one of the reasons we do this is so that our transit partners and other transportation providers can be eligible for one of the sources of federal transit funding that exists. And it's kind of a special source of funding that allows other agencies besides just Metro and PARTA to go after it. But really, the concept of the coordinated plan is really simple. It's basically looking at where are our populations that have special transportation needs, and in particular, our aged population and population with disabilities. So where are they, and what services do they need, and what are the agencies and organizations that can provide those transportation services. And then just making sure that we understand where the gaps are and come up with recommendations to try to minimize those gaps. So several components to this plan. One of the things AMATS was particularly involved in is the demographics, and Seth did a bunch of maps for us that kind of looked at all those different populations you see on the left, so we could understand where within our planning region we had higher populations of, say, disabled people or low-income populations. Another big component, as we were kind of in the information gathering phase of the project, was trying to hear from different groups of people about what they're seeing on the ground or what their needs are. So, first thing was we did an online survey, had a really good response rate, over 300 people. And our two transit agencies, Metro and PARTA, followed up with some phone surveys that were geared more toward their riders when they would call into the offices for services. They would be asked if they'd be willing to take a short survey. So we got a lot of great information from those two surveys. I can't remember how many people were captured with the phone surveys, but I want to say it was over 50. So pretty good response rate there too. There was also Metro and PARTA reached out to many of the other providers in the region that they have relationships with. So like examples of that might be like Hattie Larlem or UDS, which what I can't think of what that stands for, Jeff.
United Disability Services.
United Disability Services, yeah. Those types of agencies, and just other social service agencies that provide transportation for medical trips or other things like that. So that was there were a lot of agencies reached out to, and then we also formed a planning committee comprised of a lot of those agencies. And we learned, well, we heard a lot of the things that we would expect to hear, like it's difficult to make cross-county trips, which means, from one county to another trip. There are difficulties with being able to schedule same-day service for like a shared ride type service, things like that, that there are some geographic gaps that we knew existed, but we heard more about them. So those are the kinds of things that we heard. So all that, led us to putting together a draft plan, 9-chapter plan. We're pretty much at the finish line on this. But I'll just go over a couple of the highlights. Obviously, our demographics have changed since the last time we did this, so we highlighted what those changes are. A few of the transportation providers have changed, or the services that those transportation providers offer have changed a little bit. And then there are also some new funding opportunities out there that didn't exist back in 2017, 2018 when we were working on the last plan. And so we had a couple extra recommendations and gaps. Many of our gaps were the same that we had from the last plan, but we added to these, some like geographical gaps. There are some changes to that, but like basically a lot of the same gaps and recommendations we had from the last plan still exist on this one. A couple new gaps. There were in Portage County, they talked more about in the northeastern part of the county, Garrettsville, Hiram, and Windham. I think PARTA's service is really heavily focused on Kent and Ravenna, and Franklin Township surrounding Kent. But there were, I think before, like there were gaps were called out, like better service to Streetsboro and Brimfield, but now there's been some more issues with stuff in the northeastern part of the county. In Summit County, Green was identified as a new area that, they've kind of had some reduced service with the Reimagine Metro, with them redesigning their routes a few months ago. So in addition to the gaps that already existed in Summit County, mostly in northern Summit County, like Twinsburg, Macedonia, that area, just kind of identified what those new areas are and what the needs are in those areas. And then recommendations, most were the same. I have two in bold here because although those were recommendations from the past plan, we added in a substantial amount of new language to these and kind of changed what those recommendations were. So travel training is basically, I guess in layman's terms, it's kind of services that are offered for people that would like to take advantage of transit services. Metro and PARTA both offer these services to kind of like basically teach people what services exist, how to read schedules, how to make sure that they know how to do what they want to do. So there's a lot of conversation this time about how the travel training for fixed route service is like really great. But there are certain needs, like with limited English populations, like some of the more recent refugee immigrant populations not really knowing what services are, as well as like just being able to know with like a shared ride, some of those other services, like a demand response service, what those services are. And then some changes in we expanded a lot of our language in connecting transit stops to passenger destinations, even got into the weeds a little bit with like wintertime challenges of, you get off the bus, but then you still have to walk 500 feet to the doctor's office or the plaza where you're going and things like that. So those were some of the changes to recurring recommendations. We had a couple of new recommendations as well, pretty straightforward. One of which, though, was just we had the thought like, we have this planning committee that we've gotten together a few times through this effort and got a lot of really good feedback from them. Why not keep this as a standing committee that meets, let's say, once a year to kind of talk through what coordination issues exist and how we're doing on some of our recommendations? So that gets us to where we are now. We are our planning committee, which is the group that was put together through like Metro and PARTA's contacts, and AMATS is a part of this too, of a lot of general riding public, as well as a lot of the larger providers like Job and Family Services and things like that, or agencies like that. That's the group that will officially approve the plan, and that's most likely going to happen in October now. We had a lot of like last minute feedback that kind of changed, not too substantially, but changed things around a little bit. So we want to make sure we're getting this right and taking our time. And so we've kind of identified October as a good time for them to approve the plan. So that's in a nutshell what this coordinated plan is all about. Any questions about that?
I have a question.
Yeah.
All right. I'm thinking of a military retired guy I know. He's in a wheelchair. His wife does all the driving. They have one of those modified vans. She slipped and fell the other week. So there they are, two injured people with no transport. I will. She went to the ER, and I guess some friends, took her home after she was discharged or from the hospital. But let's say she doesn't drive. How does she know what services are available, either to move her or to move her husband who's in an electric wheelchair?
Yeah, and that's kind of touches at what I was talking about with travel training. Are they in, first of all, are they in Summit County or are they in Portage County?
Yes, Summit County.
Summit County. So I, and Jeff, correct me if you have a better idea, but I would think a first step would probably to connect her with Bambi at Bambi Miller at Metro. She would kind of be a person to kind of lay out some of the initial options with travel training programs that they offer, but also be able to put her in touch with other agencies if any of their transportation services applied. Does that seem pretty reasonable to you,
Okay,
Jeff?
they okay, let's go through the procedure. So here she arrives at the ER. Her husband's at home. He's sort of able to take care of himself alone for a while. She's treated and put in a room or whatever. She gets hold of her friends, gets home, but now she has to somehow figure out how to get him to a medical appointment. Would she go on the internet and look for a disabled person transport, or how would the average citizen find this?
Well, they could. A lot of the agency's services that exist are detailed on websites, and I don't know the details, but I understand that to be the case. But I think what might be a shorter or more direct route to kind of help her with what might be a pretty overwhelming thing is to just call the I guess I don't know what Bambi's title is, community relations or outreach position, but she would
There's
be a key person to talk to, I think.
the problem in our procedures, and I'm gonna back up. I had another organization, and they have some advertisements, and I asked, "Where's the QR code?" If you go look at most ads nowadays, I still get the Beacon Journal, but you get magazines too. There's a QR code, and you click on that with your smartphone, and it takes you right to where you need to go. Would it be feasible for organizations or AMATS as an organization to develop a QR code and put it in the ER rooms saying, "Are you disabled? Do you need help
No,
moving
that's a
by
good idea.
vehicle? Click on this code." And it'll send you to the Central Summit County Disability Dispatch Center to get you from your home to the grocery store or your home to the doctor. Rather than, I'm just
Yeah,
throwing out
no, that's a
ideas
really
here.
good, that's a good suggestion.
Trying to make it easy. You have them captured one time at the ER and going home from the hospital. Maybe the discharge procedure would be the place to slip them this little piece of paper that says, "This is for disabled, handicapped, transportation to go to the grocery store, the doctor, whatever you need to do." Scan this thing. Because that's the one place we see the disabled at the hospital. After that, they're back home or whatever they're doing.
Right, a
I'm thinking
hospital.
about another group, the Bhutanese.
Right.
They're fairly electronically literate. That international institute we have is a good way of contacting people who come in with different languages. Again, something printed up. And I mean, I've seen the hospital send home instructions in 20 different languages about your bill. But to have a QR code where they could go somewhere and select the language they want to talk to. I mean, this is an idea that way to get the non-English speaking or slowly English learning group in there.
Yeah.
And, you know, Bill, I think you just bring up a good point that I think has kind of been a failing of both the social service agencies and transit, is just that it is very difficult to reach those. You know, a lot of people don't need transit until they need transit. And so they don't really know where they need to go. And, yeah, you know, and I think that is, you know, your idea about the emergency rooms or thing, you know, because I think that's just one example. Another example are shut-ins. You know, people, I had a next door neighbor that, you know, she got older, all of a sudden her husband died, she didn't drive. And, you know, she didn't have a computer or a smartphone, and it, and
ooh,
you know, trying to
ooh.
Explain to her the type of services that were out there, it's just, it is a real challenge. And I think, you know, part of this plan, a lot of it is focused on how to get all the organizations to work together and to communicate and to share. But I think another element is, you know, that you bring up that I think is a really good one, is just that, how do we also then get this out to people? And because right now there's not even, I don't believe, like one website that even says, hey, here are all your transportation options. You know, it would most likely be contacting Summit County. What is their senior services? I can't remember what it's titled, or going directly to Metro and then trying to find the right service for you. And that's really been a challenge since the AMAT's gotten to this space like 15 years ago. I would say that's probably one of the biggest challenges that we've, you know, yet to really overcome, is how can the public go to one spot and figure out what fits them best? And so, you know, I think that's something that we're still trying to work through, but I think some of the things that you're pointing out could be things that, you know, even AMATS has, it could have just a list of, you know, providers, both transit agencies and nonprofits that are in the space. But, you know, we're not a full name either.
Well, people who get in the bus, again, PARTA and RTA would have to look at that little 8.5 by 11 laminated stuck in the bus where people would see it when they walked in, saying, do you know of somebody who needs emergency? Well, that's not, I don't, got to be a better way to say it. Transportation to doctors or stores, and they're physically disabled. Scan this code for information. I mean, you could have some moving ads. You could have some fixed ads at ERs. Just throwing out ideas.
No, I think those are all good ones. And I think,
yeah, and I'll definitely pass that along.
Yeah.
When,
and I think you touched on a failing of the process.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll be sure to pass that along with the folks we've been working with on this coordinated plan, and see if we can maybe take that especially the recommendation of like the doing something in the ERs and running with it. It's not a bad idea at all.
Yeah, the hospitals have the hospitals have social workers, but unless someone is affiliated as the client of a particular social service agency, it's really difficult to be on your own without any direction.
Good comments, Bill.
Yeah. Okay, well, the next thing is just a brief thing. Jeff's going to go over presentation regarding our calendar year 2024 safety goals.
Thanks, Matt. We had a resolution in the packet, in this month's meeting packet. It was attachment 6A. If you go through the packet, it was a resolution that we do every year to support ODOT safety performance targets for the coming year. This is our seventh year for doing this. Agencies like AMATS are required to use transportation data for their investment and policy making decisions. AMATS has been doing this for a long time, but the federal government started pushing this for everyone a few years back. Some MPOs just recently started to actually use data to program their projects, to prioritize them. So this is something that we've done for a while. So ODOT would like us to support a 2% annual reduction in the five performance measures: the number of fatalities, the fatality rate, the number of injuries and the injury rate, and then the number of non-motorized fatalities and injuries. Ohio has been making progress towards these goals, and they want to continue that. So we are going to support ODOT's. The staff is recommending that we continue to support ODOT's targets. And AMATS is going to agree to plan and program projects so that they contribute toward these accomplishments, which we already do. And finally, AMATS agrees to include performance-based decision-making as part of the project selection and funding process, which we already do. So this is kind of like, continuing on with this process. And ODOT has really put in a lot of money into safety program funding. So a lot of agencies in the AMATS area have applied to ODOT and gotten funds through their safety program. So this is something that we need to support so that they can continue to do that. So we are supporting that resolution, which will go, which TAC supported yesterday, and we hope the policy committee will vote for next week. Are there any questions about that?
Okay.
I saw an internet article. This city has zero fatalities. I don't think it's in the States. They have banned all traffic in their downtown areas. It's a bus circulator route, whatever, but you cannot drive downtown. You
Which city?
Walk or you take the bus. It was an internet pop-up. I didn't catch the name of the city. I knew it wasn't in the U.S., but they found a way to stop traffic deaths by banning traffic. I mean, that's a little outre for the U.S., but there are ways to get there.
That's one way.
Yeah.
Okay. And the next item, Curtis is going to just give a short update on the AMATS funding policy guidelines. I think both you guys were at our meeting in August, where I gave a little more in-depth explanation of everything. But Curtis is just going to give kind of an update on where we stand with all of that.
Yeah, thanks, Matt. So as he said, we had done a presentation at our last CIC that went through kind of all the recommended changes to the program. We had then opened it up for the last month to see if we'd receive any additional comments from our membership. We received none. So everyone seems to be in pretty good support of, things like increasing the amounts for resurfacing, increasing the amounts for bike and pedestrian projects, as well as, changing some of the language and creating a TASA supplemental program. So, we did meet with TAC yesterday. It was supported. And, we did announce that our application window will open starting late Thursday when we get the applications online. And then they will be open through November 3rd, which is a Friday, the 1st of November, just after Halloween. where we'll be accepting project applications. So this is always like a good 4-month process from start to finish to even get to this point. And so we're excited to start seeing what applications we're going to get. And it sounds like a lot of communities are interested. So it should be a very competitive round of funding.
Any questions for Curtis?
Yeah, I do have a few questions. Have you heard from any communities on projects that those communities might apply for TASA funding for?
So for sure, I'm getting something from Akron for the Rubber City Heritage Trail. Okay. Last time I spoke, I know Portage County is interested for a part of, I want to say it was the Headwaters Trail, Matt. Do you remember when we met with them?
Yeah.
But I haven't heard.
I haven't heard anything since then.
Yeah. I have to believe the Metro Parks is applying for something. I just don't know what it would be. But that's about it for my, I think Hudson might be applying for another leg of their trail, but I'm not sure. Boston Heights also expressed interest for the Heights to Hudson, but honestly, I'm not sure where that's at either. So really, I haven't heard a lot of concrete discussions at this point. You know, a lot of times someone will start reaching out after the application's published and people start filling it out, and then I get a better sense of it. But, you know, we did have our CMAQ round of funding and received, you know, 15 applications, which was quite a bit high. So I'm kind of expecting to be competitive, but so far, yeah, Akron's the only one that has told me definitively, yes, we're applying for the next phase of Rubber City Heritage.
Okay.
I'm walking the Portage Pass trail program, and they published that Portage Parks booklet.
Yeah.
And they did talk in their booklet about going across Mantoway, that part of the county up there, trying to connect.
That's the Headwaters.
So they have plans in writing. I don't know if they've got hold of AMAS to get any money for it.
Yeah, that's the one that we really want to help them build and continue on. You know, we were just cautioning them because, and I think Austin, you know, we've talked about this before. It was just that, you know, they'd kind of set out a preliminary design for the next phase of the Headwaters that included, you know, being on some right next to someone's properties. And there was like a little concern, like, have you talked to these people yet? Are they aware? You know, is it just because we've seen these things, it almost doesn't matter what it is at this point. Think, you know, all it takes is one person to start getting loud and noisy, and it slows the process down. So I don't know if they kind of went back and looked at that, or if but it's a great trail, and we've wanted to build it for 20 years, and that's why it ranks, you know, the Portage and the Headwaters Trail gets top points if they apply, because we committed to funding the towpath, and then we committed to funding the Portage or the Headwaters, and they just have not had the capital to really make the local share happen. So we're hopeful that they will be able to with this round of funding.
Good.
On that note about getting input from the public. So Curtis, I don't think you were on the last CSE. But task force, we actually came up with a proposal for Cuyahoga Falls and Silver Lake to apply for the next section to the south of the Veterans Trail. So that would be connecting the pedestrian bridge over Route 8.
Right.
And what we had proposed was connect to Riverfront Park and the pedestrian bridge over the Cuyahoga River. The feedback that we've gotten from Cuyahoga Falls is that it doesn't seem like they're planning to pursue funding But I think Silver Lake is still considering at least the section that's in Silver Lake, so that goes down to Lee Road, and it would be a great alternative to the on-road section of the Summit Bike and Hike Trail. But they actually have a public meeting tonight at the Village Hall.
Yeah, I saw an email from Bill saying that he was going to be attending.
So I know that you mentioned that when we were asking, you know, about possibly getting funding for that section earlier this year. We definitely understand that getting the public input and buy-in from both the residents and the leaders in those communities is really important.
Now, Austin, do you know off the top of your head, is Mayor Armstrong officially gone, or is he one of the ones that's leaving at the end of the term?
Mayor Hovey.
Hovey, God, not Armstrong. Sorry, Armstrong's Monroe Falls. Was Monroe Falls.
Yeah. So Mayor Hovey, I think, will be mayor through the end of this year.
Okay.
And then there will be a new mayor next year.
There will be a new mayor. Okay. Yeah. No, honestly, you know, Silver Lake has a hard time getting funds from AMETS because I think the only functionally classified road is a state route. So it's usually, you know, something that through through ODOT that they get funding for. But, you know, it'd be great if they can get that piece of the, you know, if they're interested and have the local share. You know, I think that's a, I mean, we all want it to be built. You know, it's just the timeline is what's getting, you know, frustrating because you know, waiting for that, waiting for FTA and the rail administration and all that stuff. And, but we knew that going in, so it's not too surprising, but that's good to know that they're actually doing outreach on it. I think that's smart.
Yeah. And I think there's also interest in part of the previously funded section just to the north of that goes through Silver Lake as well. And I think they're, getting input from those residents as well.
Yeah. And it's, well, you know, it's funny. We actually met some residents that live. We're having a new website designed by Triad, and there's a couple that works there that lives with their property to the back of the trail. And they had heard about, you know, that there was interest in making that. And they were really excited about, I mean, they thought it would make a lot of sense, but they did mention that there was like one neighbor that was a little bit cantankerous about it, or, you know, which they, you know, but I think they, you know, it's just interesting. It's all about, in some ways it's generational, in some ways it's just, you know, people that don't want to see any trees get touched, or even for, you know, trails. So I'll be curious to hear how it goes. Hopefully a task force can provide us with a summary of how it is tonight.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure Bill will provide a good update. So, other question I had: do you all have any feel from the communities what sort of projects people apply for the carbon reduction grants?
You know, so the one that's come up most, and I think this was intentional for us, is roundabouts. You know,
I saw that on the scoring. That was
So I think. You know, I'd heard Portage County had a location. Green's always got locations. And I can't remember, there were, a few others. I think, you know, we got a CMAQ application from Cuyahoga Falls, that, you know, included a roundabout. It wouldn't surprise me if they came back for just the roundabout portion of that. That's the number one thing I think we'll see. You know, I'm hoping we kind of phase out the two-way left turn lanes a little bit, but I don't, you know, but people like them. A lot of communities like it, kind of that, you know, they think it helps congestion and safety. But we'll see. I mean, it wouldn't shock me if a bike ped project snuck in, unless we had, you know, six roundabout projects that came, you know, because those will most likely score the best. And, you know, and I think we've got about 8 million to give. So, but that's kind of what I'm primarily expecting, but we'll see. I mean, it's kind of interesting, and I think we'll see how it scores out. And I could definitely say, like, if one program might look, you know, different in 2 years, it'll be that one, just because, you know, even at the end of the day, when we talked to our members about the scoring criteria, that, you know, they were all like, yeah, this is good. Let's just see how it plays. Like, let's see what happens. And so I think, you know, that's where, depending on what happens, we might say, ooh, like, maybe we overweighted this or we underweighted this, or, you know, things like that, that, you know, we can only kind of determine through time. So, but my guess is we're going to get at least three roundabout project applications.
Okay. Yeah, actually, a couple of months ago, I had an experience of driving through the section of green where it's like five consecutive roundabouts. It's like so much nicer than sitting at a traffic light five times in a row.
I mean, I know a lot of people don't like that. I mean, I know there's a segment of the population, but for me, it's just, it's so, you know, even if you're going a little slower, the fact that you're moving, and then you're safe from a safety perspective, the worst thing that's going to happen to you is, you know, a property damage only crash where you might get a fender bender. I think even though the cost, the upfront cost is higher, I think overall, you know, over a 10 to 20 year period, I think they pay for themselves, you know, over and over again. So we want to see more roundabouts in the region. I'm kind of disappointed that we haven't had more communities, you know, the Stowe's of the world and the Falls and even Hudson, that, you know, I think they're, because they're really attractive too. I think they usually, you know, provide like an aesthetic to the community that's positive. So I'd like to see a few more of them in the north, as well as, you know, green kind of holding onto the mantle of, you know, the roundabout kings.
Sure. I am curious. You mentioned the Cuyahoga Falls applied for a CMAC grant for a project that included a roundabout. Is that in the Wyoga Lake State Road area, or?
It's intersection.
Quick Road.
Quick and State is the intersection where the roundabout was, and then Old Eight. Then it extended to, I believe, Boston Township border as a two-way left turn lane.
Okay.
So. So we're in the process of scoring those right now. Honestly, the two-way left turn lane portion of that, I kind of wanted to talk to Cuyahoga Falls about it, because there aren't even really that many driveways on that section. You know, like, there's not a lot of, I mean, there are driveways, but it's not one where you're seeing a lot of congestion because of left turns, because there aren't that many to make. Whereas I wish they just applied for the roundabout, because I think that would have, you know, been an easier sell. But
yeah.
Okay.
But it's hard to believe too, because the two-way left turn lane south of there that AMATS paid for, I mean, that had to be like 2014, 15 that was finished under construction, you know, and it's almost like that's starting to look old. It's crazy how time flies. Any other questions on that, or? And, you know, Austin, I know you guys are usually interested. I mean, we will happily share with you, you know, the number of applications and what trail projects applied. And then once we've done the scoring, obviously, you know, share that with you guys as well, so you can get a better sense of it. But, you know, I know it's always of interest, and it is an exciting day when all those emails start flowing in with applications, because it's cool to see what people are thinking about. So it's fun.
Yeah, I agree.
I hand it back to you.
Say again, Curtis.
I said, I'll hand it back to you.
All right. Well, I just have one more quick thing. I thought it'd be worthwhile to let you guys all know about an upcoming bike and brainstorm that we're doing. It's the first one AMATS has been involved in with in over a year. So we're going to be doing, not this weekend, but the weekend after, on Saturday the 23rd in the Middlebury neighborhood of Akron. So it's on the east side. If you know where Compass Coffee is, that's where we're going to be kicking off and ending our ride. So big part of the reason that was chosen, if you think about it, like, a lot of pretty major stuff has been done there in the last few years, and there's a lot more to come in the next couple of years. So the Rubber City Heritage Trail goes right through where we're going to be riding. Even that section of the Freedom Trail, not the section that was just built, but the section that was finished a couple of years ago, that goes through the northern edge of the Middlebury neighborhood. They're going to be doing a paving project on East Market Street next year that will most likely reconfigure the roadway a little bit. So the addition of bike lanes, from what I understand, those have actually been really controversial in a community meeting that they had last week. So, you know, stay tuned on that. But there also have been bicycle lanes put on North Arlington Street and East Exchange Street. So there's a lot of stuff starting to percolate up and a lot more stuff planned. So we're going to be taking a ride through that area. There are a couple things about it that are kind of unique. One, because of our partnership with the Community Development Corporation, known as The Well, they run Akron Food Works out of their facility. So it's a lot of like startup kitchens and stuff. So we actually have seven kitchen partners that have volunteered to provide food and drinks and stuff. So it'll actually be a pretty nice spread, I think, after the ride. So that's kind of cool. But the other thing that's neat is, in addition to being able to, you know, ride your bike through the area, we're also partnering with Spin, who's going to provide scooters for anybody that would rather take one of those electronic scooters through the region. So just kind of another modal choice. So if you have a chance and you're interested, it's Saturday morning, the 23rd at 10:30 a.m. at The Well. We have a lot more information on our website. If you just scroll down on our homepage down to the What's New postings, you'll see it up there. So any questions about that?
No, okay. Unfortunately, I won't. I'm busy that day, so I won't be able to make it. But okay. If I was free, I would definitely show up. Sounds like a great
day. Yeah. The electric scooter idea is nice for me.
Yeah. Well, part of that came about because if you know that part of the city, there's unfortunately no way to avoid some of the large hills that are over there. And so we spent a lot of time trying to find a route that would minimize the topographical challenges of that area. And we did our best, but there still are a couple of hills where I'm like, I think I can ride up this hill, but I'll find out next week. So, but yeah, it should be a good time though. So, I did want to mention, Austin, we did, thanks for your suggestion about the bike friendly community. I actually got an email, I think like a day before you sent yours, because we had helped Cuyahoga Falls a little bit with their application. So I was already starting to think about how could we promote this and stuff, but I don't know if you saw that we do have a press release up on our website.
Yeah, I did see the press release, and thank you all for your support for the Cuyahoga Falls application, first of all, and that was a really great press release. I shared it on social media.
So, good. Okay. Yeah. Cool. And I know Heather put it on our social media pages too. So
great.
So yeah, we're in good shape. Hopefully.
I did. And I wanted to point out, Austin, you said you can't come to the Bike and Brainstorm, but I'm wondering if you've had a chance to participate in the Commuter Challenge this week. Do you remember what that is? If not,
I don't. I'm sorry.
Oh, well, here's my chance to explain to you.
Yeah,
so,
go for it.
For Go Ohio Commute, we have a Commuter Challenge. It's this weekend next. I believe it ends on the 24th. And every time you log an entry for a commute, but it has to be not a single occupancy vehicle. So it's a vanpool, carpool, bike, scooter. I'm not going to remember. There were like
transit.
Six different. Thank you. There were six different methods of transportation. And I can tell you, I can tell everybody here that they still haven't gotten the first person that logged a commute by scooter. So if you get out there and like scooter somewhere, you can enter the and get a prize. So anyways, there are prizes. The grand prize, I think, is $250, but there are $25 awards for the people who log the first commute. So it's all of this week and next. There's my plug. So if you get a chance.
Yeah, I'll look at it for sure.
Go Ohio Commute.
Is this on the AMATS website?
Actually, I don't think it is. It is on all of our social media, and it's a statewide commuter challenge. So if you know, are you familiar with GoHio Commute? So GoHio Commute is the old Ohio Rideshare. Ohio Rideshare used to be just three agencies in Northeast Ohio. We worked together to promote carpooling. We joined with the rest of the state, and now we have GoHio Commute in it. We include lots of different types, modes of transportation.
Have you ever used the website summitcountycalendar.com?
I'm sure I've visited it before.
Well, you can post an activity as an organization, and it'll go through quite a few towns in Summit County. And people do read it, so that might be an avenue to look at.
Hmm. Okay, thank you.
Okay, well, are there any other just general questions for any of us, Bill or Austin?
Nope. Nice meeting everybody.
Yeah, good seeing you both.
See you both, Austin.
Yeah, appreciate you coming out for this on such a nice day, but hopefully
we had to travel real far. They all had to travel real far to get here.
Well, no, they all have to sit inside when we all should be outside going for a bike ride or walking.
I know, it's nice and cool and crisp. It feels
we don't get too many days like this.
Yeah. Thank you all for joining us. I really appreciate it.
All right.
Thank you.
Have a nice night.
Have a good night, everyone.